Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports here on a Victory Monday. If you missed the information, Isaiah Pacheco will be missing a severe amount of time. Broken fibula.
Yeah.
Not good. We don't know the exact timeline. No one does, but everyone is speculating that it's going to be of significant time.
It's going to be anywhere from today until next
January.
Month. Yeah, to next year, I mean. Yeah, right. Like, it's everywhere in between. We'll wait. Andy will speak today at noon, right? Doesn't he speak noon on Mondays, usually? Exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Chiefs. Got to see it in the stadium yesterday. That was really cool to see the 96.5 The Fan graphics in the stadium yesterday. Oh, yeah, so looking good on the billboard. They used a couple of cuts from us to open the day, Dusty, which was really cool. Kind of hear us on the big screen as they're getting ready to introduce the players. I love that.
Not our face, just
no, our voices.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. It was cool. It was a lot of fun yesterday.
So waiting for those royalties.
That's right. Love being out there amongst everybody yesterday. Had a great time and a great win over a fan base that is just deplorable, man. I hate the Cincinnati fan base. Like, they're worse than Raider and Bronco fans. I mean, it's just deplorable for a fan base that really has nothing to show for it. You guys act like you've conquered the world.
Well, from a broken leg to a broken heart.
How do you leave this one? Look, this is not a moral victories team, but do you leave this one feeling you let one get away?
It doesn't feel great losing.
Can you tell us what happened on your penalty?
I don't know. You got to ask defense. I wasn't on the field.
Oh, no. The one when you got flagged.
I'm talking about it.
Yeah. I feel like there's a go ball on the one to Burton that you might have had a chance to make a play on the opposite side of the field.
Yeah, we had a chance.
How much did this offense build off today?
We came out great. We had a good fight. I couldn't be more proud of the guys today.
How would you describe the Bengals Chiefs the other day? You said it wasn't a rivalry, but it seems like every single game you guys play comes down to the final player too.
So it's good football, two good quarterbacks playing against each other.
How would you characterize your frustration level right now?
I don't like losing.
How about be a man and address the penalty that cost your team the game?
Well, according to the reports during the game, he was upset because he thought it should be a hip tackle or a hip drop tackle.
But it clearly wasn't.
Well, that's frustration at its finest.
Yeah, I mean, be a man, address the penalty, and say, look, I got carried away. I shouldn't have done that. I cost my team. Like, you got to own that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
It's one thing to make the mistake, and that's a bad mistake. Physical mistakes you can accept. Mental mistakes are harder to digest. And then after a game, not holding yourself accountable or being held accountable after having one of the more costly penalties you could have had at that point in time, mm-hmm. you got to own up to that and be a man and own that and say, I let my team down today. I totally screwed this one up. This is on me, and I'm not going to let anybody else in this locker room take the blame. This is on me. But Ja'Marr Chase, man, how big a boy are you? Put on your big boy pants and stand up there and take ownership, man.
I don't know if Ja'Marr Chase hates the Chiefs or if he just hates the Chiefs because he has to go against a guy like Trent McDuffie, who Chiefs quarterback Trent McDuffie aligned across Ja'Marr Chase on 17 of his 38 routes, so 45%.
17-38.
That's right. That's a 45 percentile, including four routes in press coverage. McDuffie allowed just one reception for 4 yards on 2 targets as the nearest defender against Ja'Marr Chase. That is from Next Gen Stats.
Right. That's called shutting somebody down.
Yeah. You don't necessarily need the interceptions and such to have that be a thing. And then in that play where he got a 5-yard catch on second and I want to say, what was it? That penalty turned into what? Third and like 16?
Yeah, third and 16 or something. Like, yeah, it was big. And then they had like 5 yards over the middle just to put him in field goal range.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was a second down play and stop. And the thing that you love to see about that is that that was just frustration at its finest. Like, he had gotten the penalty earlier in the game where it looked like, at least from the view that I had on TV, that Chase was the one that pulled McDuffie down, but they called McDuffie for pass interference.
Yeah, that, I mean, let's talk about that one, right? Mm-hmm. Where was the flag on Chase for that one? That was more of a penalty than anything, too.
Right, and they gave the penalty to Trent McDuffie, obviously. Then, later on in the game, in a clutch time, like we had said in the script, that Ja'Marr Chase was going to let his emotions get the best of him.
You nailed it.
And you see this with receivers in football. Like, you see this happen where there's always, if there's ever a fight normally in football, it's always seems to be between a cornerback and a wide receiver. And that's because one is normally dominating the other. We remember the Andre Johnson and Cortland Finnegan fights back in the day. Mm-hmm. You remember Marcus Peters always getting in people's heads. You think of Richard Sherman and what's the guy's name from Texas
Tech?
Michael Crabtree.
Yeah.
It's always something like that. And to me, the best part about all of it, and this is just from a perspective of mine, is that as soon as Ja'Marr Chase started going nuts to the referee, McDuffie just walked away.
Just did,
like,
yeah.
He has been in the league less than Ja'Marr Chase. He's not going to make the money Ja'Marr Chase is going to make. Now, McDuffie's going to get paid, and he's going to get paid by Brett Veach. It's going to be a nice contract, and I'm all for it. But, like, that's one of those things where, like, you see where these two teams are in the past 3 years, right? Cincinnati beat the Chiefs AFC Championship game, and they haven't done anything since.
They are 9-11 since they called it Burrowhead.
And don't tell Sean McDermott that. And the thing about that is that you look at where these two teams are, and you look at where these two teams always seem to be, and the Chiefs, who are very well disciplined and very well know what the road is to get to where you need to get, and then Cincinnati, who did all the talking in the locker room before the game, did all the talking in the media before the game. Then the game gets played. The result is a result, and you see who shows up more than the other. And was there a pass interference play? Absolutely there was. Was there a flag thrown? In fact, there was. Was that a crucial part of the game? Sorry, but that's football.
Like, I
you can't
that.
Do that.
I hate that was the bad time to call the penalty crowd. A penalty is a penalty, regardless if there's 15 minutes to go in the first quarter or 15 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. A penalty is a penalty. Don't commit the penalties, and you're not, you know, in that situation. And you know, that's kind of where we are. We want to blame everybody right. else for the problems that we have. Joe Burrow doesn't fumble, and Shamari Connor doesn't pick it up and run back the other way. Cincinnati wins that game. Or maybe, you know, if you're Cincinnati, you make an extra point, and it's a completely different ball game as well. So there's a lot of things that Cincinnati did. And then your star wide receiver, who, by the way, is that guy ever happy? Has anybody seen Ja'Marr Chase, like, ever happy? Like, regardless of what it is, that guy seems mad at the world all the time. And that's an edge you want to have somebody play with. I understand that. But that just seems like a guy who's mad at every situation and is never, ever, ever going to allow joy and happiness to find the way into his heart. And, like, I feel bad for that guy because you're one of the best in the NFL. But, man, you play mad, you play angry, and you cost your team yesterday because you played stupid.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, and that's the best part about it is that when you have, because I remember being a kid back in the day, and my dad, when they played the Dallas Cowboys, my dad's like, I'm really worried about Michael Irvin because he's going to get inside Dale Carter's head. And what happened?
Got inside Dale Carter's head.
And got ejected.
Yeah, that was at that Thanksgiving Day game.
It was. And that was his number one concern. You can see why I try to do this in my career. And then now you probably watch, you know, there's probably some Cincinnati fans are like, damn it, Chase. Like, just don't let it get to that level. And years of losing and years of frustration. And last year he had an excuse because it was Jake Browning, not Joe Burrow. And then this year you had your quarterback back who played well.
Right.
But you were no part of why this team was doing what they were doing in today's game. Well, maybe you could be because they were more distracted on you than the tight ends. But either way, you didn't get the job done. You had a chance to go there and put the blame on you. Like, I remember listening to Zach Taylor's press conference last night. He owned it.
Right.
Like, he was like, we lost the game. We made mistakes. We cannot make those mistakes and expect to win the game. You won the turnover battle. You won the time of possession. You were better. The Chiefs were 1-8 on third down, and they still won the game. That's a Cincinnati problem. That's not a referee problem.
Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time situations. Yesterday was a big game. I know it's week two of the NFL, but it's the Chiefs. It's Arrowhead. It's Nance. It's Romo. Look out, Jim! It's the whole thing, right? You're the big game of the day yesterday. Jamar Chase played small. He did not play like a top wide receiver in the NFL. The man wants top wide receiver money. And when you have an opportunity to go out there and earn top wide receiver money, you're screaming at the referees. And then you're screaming at them during a commercial break. And, you know, they have to hold you back during a commercial break where you're still screaming at the referees. Big-time players don't perform like that. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. And so far from what I've seen Jamar Chase save that first game against the Kansas City Chiefs, Jamar Chase isn't a big-time player. He's a big-time talker that shows up against the Browns, but when it's time to play against real teams and real opponents and real competition, Jamar Chase is nowhere to be found. I wouldn't pay Jamar Chase.
In that 2022 matchup, that first one that you spoke of, 11 catches, 266 yards, three touchdowns.
And that's before we even knew who the Bengals were.
Didn't know who Jamar Chase was. Right. He hadn't come on household name, right?
Right?
And then, oh, wow, he's Jamar Chase. Since then, three games, so he had 11 catches, 266, three tutties. Since then, in those three games, you've got 14 catches for 160 yards, zero touchdowns.
In three games. The Chiefs are his kryptonite.
Yep.
Hey, Jamar, the Chiefs are your daddy. How's that taste?
Which is why he is always frustrated. No frustration here on this show.
That's why he talks the way that he does, because he knows he can't beat him on the field, so he's going to try to beat you on Wednesday by smack-talking.
Hey, they're the team to beat, though.
Yep.
You know that?
Oh, that's right. He did say that.
Yeah,
we beat them then. So,
well, then that means they're going to win a three-peat. It is overreactions. We'll get back into the Isaiah Pacheco injury as well. I'm Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. We're all damn glad to have you on a Monday. Chiefs are 2-0. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I can't get my headphones right.
Yeah, you can't look at it right there, right? Yeah.
It is what it is. Injury news today on the world of sports, Isaiah Pacheco. Not good. This is the audio of Ian Rappaport. Just minutes ago on the information regarding Isaiah Pacheco.
Isaiah Pacheco, sources say, fractured his fibula in yesterday's Chiefs win over the Cincinnati Bengals. This was kind of the fear leaving the stadium. He was in a walking boot. He was in crutches. Anytime they're going to take a look at the bone, usually that's not good. This is why initial test showed a fractured fibula. Now, my understanding is he's going to have more tests today to determine if there is associated damage. In other words, if there is damage to the ligaments, what needs to happen next and how long he is going to be out. But it is a fracture, and generally those are 4-6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. Don't be surprised if Isaiah Pacheco is placed on injured reserve. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, they do have some options at running back. Some we saw on the field yesterday. They do also have Jerick McKinnon, who's played for them the last couple of years, who is a free agent. There are certainly some options, but they are 2-0, and they have now lost Hollywood Brown for the foreseeable future and Isaiah Pacheco to a fractured fibula.
Yeah, not good when you start to think about, you know, Isaiah Pacheco being down, how long that's going to be. It really diminishes your running back position. But again, man, Andy Reid has figured this thing out from a running back standpoint. You forget Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh-round running back that a lot of people didn't even know about when he was drafted here into Kansas City, which is, you know, great, wonderful. And they've won with Ware. They've won with West. They've won with random running backs over the years. I think that if you're going to suffer an injury to a key player at a position, I mean, this is kind of one where Andy has figured it out over the years. And so do I I hate the fact that Isaiah Pacheco's hurt, but I also understand that Andy has fixed this thing throughout the course of his career.
Yeah, and I mean, I think when a lot of people look at the reaction to it of Isaiah Pacheco, I think a lot of people come out on the text line. We've seen it, or we've seen on, you know, the Twitter world or X, whatever. Go get Kareem Hunt. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's somewhere where they will go. This, to me, seems like they will go find a veteran type of player that's been in their system, which screams a Jerick McKinnon type of signing.
It screams McKinnon, right? Like, it really does. Like, that's the type of guy that I would go out there and sign at this point in the season. But I would also expect Brett Veach to seek out a trade. Whether that works or not, you don't know. But maybe there's a guy on a practice squad somewhere, you know, that they go out and sign so-and-so off of somebody's practice squad that they liked coming out in the draft, but they didn't have an opportunity, yada, yada, yada. Here we sit. Now this guy's on the Dallas Cowboys practice squad. Maybe Dak Prescott will be there soon. And you go and you get that guy off of, you know, somebody's practice squad. I think we have seen that a lot in the NFL with Brett Veach. And I, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and make a trade, sign a guy off a practice squad, or even sign Jerick McKinnon.
This is from Aaron Ladd. We talk about overreactions. He had Kingsley Suamataia after the game. He said, quote, "They gave me a challenge to be the left tackle on this team, and I need to take that upon myself even harder. None of that should have happened in the first place, but technique is in those reps. Definitely stuff I can work on." So we talk about overreactions, right? Left tackle wasn't great yesterday.
No, but a great learning experience,
but
right?
But again, sometimes you got to get broken into a million pieces to build yourself back up even stronger and come back a new person. And I think that's something that you will see. These are the growing pains of having a rookie left tackle. And they put in Wanya Morris, and then there was a huge penalty on Wanya Morris as well. He had the illegal hands on the face, which made it the fourth and, 16 or whatever, which then ended up getting the pass interference call, which I can hear Cincinnati radio now saying, well, that was a makeup call. No, it was pass interference. But again, you're going to have these growing pains. So I understand the overreactions of some people having these, you know, well, what are we going to do with left tackle? Well, game one, he was okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they play the Ravens, whose defensive line is pretty good. It's not great.
Right.
And then in week two, you went up against a guy who's a really good defensive edge rusher. Like, he's just, that's a good defensive player. He ate you for lunch. But now you can put that in your bank of memory and tell yourself, okay, here's what he was doing to beat me. Here's what I was doing that I didn't like. And you can go hit the lab running. And then by the time it's week 7 or 8, ain't nobody getting to Patrick Mahomes.
Couple of texts coming in real fast, and I want to get back to something you just said there. Dalvin Cook on the Dallas Cowboys practice squad. Do you go sign him off the Cowboys practice squad? I mean, he is, like, if you want Kareem Hunt, you might as well want Dalvin Cook at this point in time, right? But probably a little older. That's not the person I was thinking of, but I don't hate any ideas right now. Look, we're all trying to help, you know, in this situation, because this team is very thin at running back. You've got P. Ryan and you've got Carson Steele that's on your roster right now. Mm-hmm. Jerick McKinnon makes the most sense because he's got the best knowledge of the playbook, and it's not going to be a big learning curve, but does Jerick McKinnon want to play anymore, and does he have the ability to play anymore? You know, we have to see, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where we sit, you know, from that running back standpoint and where this team is going right now on offense. They'll figure it out. They'll find a way to get it done. Maybe Travis Kelce, another big concern that people had, maybe he gets more involved back in the offense now because you don't necessarily have that consistency from a running back. But as far as Kingsley is concerned, think about your own life. Where do you learn the most from? Your successes or your failures? You learn more from your failures. It happens to all of us. And so that guy had a bad day yesterday against one of the best defensive ends in the NFL. He's going to grow a lot from that. And I'm excited to see where he takes his next step.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, when you think about, you know, because you talk about, like, getting broken. I mean, I was, I think, fired once here and then rehired 20 minutes later by our old boss. And it was because I was doing my job wrong. And then all of a sudden, I stopped doing my job wrong. But that's here nor there. Another overreaction I think we can have, or maybe it's not an overreaction, maybe I can calm down, is maybe we're seeing a new version of Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know earlier when Derek Johnson was on the show, they were saying, hey, they do a lot to like keep him out of the offense. They do a lot to keep him, you know, not going to let the guy beat you. But again, like they've been doing that for years and Travis Kelce would still find ways. And I think that, you know, the thing that I will look at is maybe this is the new Travis Kelce of this season. Again, four catches for 38 or 39 yards is a little bit concerning. And I know that people are going to say, hey, he had the big penalty taken back. It just, it doesn't matter. Like it never happened. There was a hold. I'm sorry. But there should be other opportunities, at least in my opinion, to get Travis Kelce more involved in the offense. And hey, the injury to Isaiah Pacheco might have just scratched everything they had going. And they might switch everything up and have a new sort of, you know, offensive look. But I am a tiny bit. I'm not a little bit. I'm just a tiny bit of concerned of like, is this what we're going to see now is less and less of Travis Kelce throughout the season?
Well, we may. And you know, I think some of that is A, by design, but B, also, I mean, he is 34, so you want to preserve him for when it really matters most, and that is the end of the season. You're going to need Travis Kelce. Look at how he played in the playoffs last year. How big was he, right? Maybe his best postseason run of all time. He was flat out fantastic in the postseason. But as we go through the regular seasons, I keep reminding myself and everybody that this is a dress rehearsal for the postseason. And you've got new weapons. You've got new toys for Patrick Mahomes. Mm. You're going to play with those new toys. We made the Toy Story comparison early where you had Woody, right? He was there. Travis Kelce is Patrick Mahomes' Woody, right? He sits there
You
know he's Patrick Mahomes' Woody. No. He sits there and he's always going to be there and he's always going to be reliable. Okay. But over the course of time, you get new toys. And you know what it was like when you were a kid on Christmas? You played with all those new toys and a lot of the old toys kind of just sat on the shelf. But every once in a while, when you needed your Woody, there it was, right? And if Patrick Mahomes needs Woody, there's Travis Kelce right there, ready to rock and roll and be his guy. The old standby, the guy that you can rely on. That's where we are. They're playing with the new toys. They're getting Rice involved. They're getting Worthy involved. They're seeing what they can do. They're building their portfolio, their repertoire. But they know what Travis can do. And when they need Travis, Travis will be there just like Woody was for Andy.
We got through it.
Yeah, I got a buzz on Christmas. I'll let that one sit in the on deck circle over there. Speaking of on deck, Vern's on deck show tonight at 5:30 as the Royals host the Tigers. We had a pretty interesting discussion. I'm still kind of new to Bob's like sort of personality at times through text. Reading texts are hard to like kind of get the emotions out of it. There was a moment in the game yesterday where Mac and I were against the wall and Fesco was just coming after us with like swords and knives. And I thought, and I think Mac thought, I'm interested to see what the text line thinks, 913-586-7965. There was a time when the Chiefs could have gone for two and they did and didn't get it. And Bob thinks that they should never try and do that.
You never try to go for two until you need to go for two. You want to stack as many points as you can during the course of a game, obviously. And going for two takes 1 point off the board. I think the conversion rate in the NFL is at 47.5% or whatever it is of getting the 2-point conversion. And the Chiefs still can't get a yard. Like, it doesn't matter what year it is. We cannot get a yard, right? Like, how difficult was it yesterday to try to move the ball 3 feet? It was like impossible yesterday. So I look at this Chiefs team right now as a team that you got to take the points when you can get them. And I look at that for any team. Coaches get fired because they make stupid decisions on 2-point conversions. And coaches like those round numbers. They like being up 3. They like being up 7. They like being up 10, you know, and that kind of stuff. And we see it all the time. Ask Iowa 2 weeks ago what happened when they went for 2. They ended up losing the game to Iowa State, a game in which they should have won. And for years, I've talked to people in the NFL about this, and they all say the same thing. You do not go for 2 unless you have to go for 2. And in that situation, and the way that I look at it is, you have to plan for worst case scenario. You didn't go up by 3 at that point. You were only up by 1. But you have to plan for worst case scenario. If Cincinnati goes down the field and they score a touchdown and kick the extra point, now they're only up, 7? And you would have been up, they would have been up 6. And if you would have gone down the field and kicked the extra point, you would have won with the extra point instead of just tying with the extra point. Uh-huh. So you've got to take the points when they are available. And with 14 minutes to go, there's no reason that you need to go for 2 points in that situation. I thought it was a bad coaching move by Andy, ended up not getting it. And if we don't get that Jamar Chase meltdown and they score a touchdown there and they go up seven, then you're tasking the Chiefs with going down the field and only being able to tie the game with an extra point instead of being able to win the game with the extra point.
I don't think that math's correct because the Chiefs went for two, didn't get it. They were only up one.
Meaning, they were up one.
Meaning that if the Bengals would have scored and made it, they would be up six.
They would have been up seven had they gone for two, though. And you know they would have gone for two at that point in time. So you've got to plan worst-case scenario. They go down, they score, they're up six. They go up seven, that gives the Chiefs the ability to tie with an extra point. You go for two, and they would have gone, because coaches are stupid.
Okay, but then you're down seven, and you have what you think is the best kicker of all time to kick a PAT.
To kick a PAT to tie the game, and then you have to send the game the overtime, where you could have won the game by taking the extra point earlier in the game and not have to worry about overtime.
I mean, I keep going, but I'm going to let you go, Dustin.
No, I looked at the situation of the game and thought to myself, 3 points puts the pressure on them to actually have to go down and drive to score it, kick a field goal to just tie it, instead of being like, okay, all we get it, we can win the game here. And in that situation, the way the momentum was rolling, I figured go up two, get the 3 points, have the lead, have the 3-point lead, and then everything works out in its favor.
But we also see kickers in the NFL. Like, Butker isn't the only one that can kick a 50-yard field goal now. I feel like 50-yard field goals are nothing in this league,
right?
Yeah, go
Kai Fairbairn. He had like three. He's at like 5 in 2 weeks.
I mean, it's insane. Like, kickers are really effing good right now in this league. My whole belief has always been you take every point you possibly can until you need to go for those 2 points.
I think that was a need situation.
I didn't think it was. There's still 14 minutes on the clock and you got Patrick Mahomes.
I guess I just don't see the math why it doesn't make sense. Like, for me, like, okay, cool. So now you only tie if they go for two and now they're up seven. Like, to me, there's just so much more gain that you can get from getting the two rather than if you get one, if you don't get anything.
Oh, I think it crushes you. And especially based on the percentages. I mean, you got to play the odds here. We're all in the gambling world.
Well, that's what,
right?
I think that's what they're looking at.
Well, no, but you're playing the odds. You're not, though, because it's only a 47.9% conversion rate.
That's not the odds they're looking
at.
They're looking at win probability. And win probability would have gone dramatically up had you gotten that 2 points.
Yeah, but win probability means nothing. How many times have you seen teams in position to win 99% of the time with a minute to go and they all lose, right? Like, especially in the NFL, where they call it the witching hour for a reason, right? At the end, where how many times games change and motion and movement and all that kind of stuff happens with the score. It happens at a rapid rate. You take as many points as you possibly can get every single time. And I'll stand by that to the day I'm dead. Going for two early in the game to make yourself feel better because now you've got a 3-point lead against an offense that was kind of working itself for you. They were moving down the field. If Jamar Chase doesn't melt down, there's a good chance they score a touchdown. Then they would go for two to put the onus back on you, where a touchdown and an extra point would only tie the game. Whereas if you would have taken the extra point, a touchdown, the extra point wins the game for you.
But I mean, that was the fourth quarter.
It was 14 minutes to go. It's a long time to go. You had at least two possessions after that offensively. I think they each had two possessions in the fourth quarter. Go out there, score again. Go out there, make some plays. Go out there, play defense. Like, to me, you take the points. That's just the way you look at it.
I also look at it as, who's the best coach in football?
But doesn't mean he doesn't make mistakes either, you know?
Well, I would go the other way. I think he did make mistakes, and it was not going for the touchdown on the 1 yard line on fourth and goal.
But this team can't get a yard. I mean, this team trying to get a yard has been their kryptonite since Patrick Mahomes has came into this league. Like, I'm to the point where I was in the crowd and I almost yelled it out loud, but I thought it to my head because I didn't really want to yell and waste my voice. Put in Carson Wentz and let us do a quarterback sneak. I mean, we got Leo Chenal running around in the backfield. This team spends more time creating weird, strange plays to try to get a yard than just putting the backup quarterback in there. And who the hell cares if everybody knows? But my God, I'd rather have 3rd and 16 than I would 3rd and 1 or 2nd and 1. This team can't get a yard. I don't know what it is. Like, it's been this way for years that they just can't get 1 yard. It's bizarre.
But we'll consider kicking a 68-yard field goal.
Oh, did you think they were going to kick that?
I mean,
there was 25 seconds left on the clock.
If there was 3 seconds left, they'd have definitely let him.
100%. 100%.
Too much time was on the
clock. Too much time, because if you miss it, Cincinnati gets it with 20-some seconds left at the 42-yard line in plus territory, and it's pretty much field goal range for them right there.
Somebody in the 816 says, love you, Bob, but the math isn't correct. It was 23-22. If we make the 2-point conversion, it would have been 25-22. And if Bengals get a touchdown, it would be two.
Would be two what?
I don't know. It just says it would be two.
Oh.
I'm just reading the text verbatim. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
we had a guy call us clowns, and I asked if he'd like to come in and do a segment. He said, absolutely, love it. I said, okay, what's your hottest take today that you could do 10 minutes on Crimson's?
Yeah, no. But he was also off the listening to Dallas Sports Radio.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like it's a mixed emotion with that.
It is. It's all over. See, that's why it's a great topic, because some people will be on my side, some people will be on your side. I'm just of the old school approach of you take every point when you can possibly get it, especially with an offense that can't get a yard. I mean, it's bizarre. I've never seen something so good struggle so much at one thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, normally I'm wrong on the two-point conversion attempt or to go for it. But at that point, I mean, the first thing that clicked in my mind was like, obviously you go for two here.
I think you go for two. Like, if Baltimore would have scored last weekend and didn't have their toe out of bounds, 1,000% you go for two. It's the end of the game.
That's like the only time you would go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only time I would go for it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. From the 816, couldn't agree more with Bob. Too many teams are chasing points that mathematically make sense, but emotionally and how football games come back to bite you in the fourth. Yeah.
Barbershop text me. Please help Bob. Tell him he's wrong.
How come he didn't text me? See, that's a player perspective. Just because you played the game doesn't mean you're always right.
I mean,
I agree with that, but I still think there are other sides to the coin here. I mean, so do you think, all right, you said earlier, you think they're looking at round numbers. Do you think that goes?
Oh, yeah, I do. I believe coaches are like, we want to be up three. We want, because that's what matters in the game. Like, if you're up three, the worst they can do, they think, is tie the game. If we're up two, oh, my God, they can beat us with a field goal. There's still 14 minutes left in the game. Your defense can still go out there and make plays. Your offense clearly is a playmaking offense. Go out there and let them go.
I also think it's interesting that if they would go for two, or like as many drawn up plays they have, like that, this is like a sub conversation with what we're kind of talking about. Like, it is baffling to me, the whole yard thing. Like, I know Carson Steele, did Carson Steele convert like at least two runs on short yardage, maybe three? But it's like
even Kelce, they tried to get a yard. He fell short.
Yeah. He almost threw a like, pick six on that
their
play,
most
too.
I know he did. Their most creative, wild, strange, bizarre plays happen on second and one and third and one. They're trying so hard to get a yard. Like, they need to get that out of their mental block.
Yeah, somebody from the 8-1-6 says you go for two because the worst case scenario, if you kick the extra point, they kick a field goal and you don't score again, they win by one. That's the other thing that I look at it too, by the way. And I know it's in this whole conversation is hindsight 2020. But I look at it as like, take every advantage you can to get as many points as you can in that case and scenario. I mean, I just trust Andy Reid in this offense to be able to score from 2 yards out, but for some reason they can't get third and one.
No.
But again, like, it's also, to me, also like going for two is like the situation and the momentum. Like, if you've just scored and that defense who had been just drug through that entire field all day, especially that opening drive, and then in that case in point, like, I was just like, they get a 2-point conversion here, they're up by three, a field goal down the field doesn't win the game, it just ties it. Mm-hmm. So I look at it from that perspective, not into the perspective of you got to look at odds and numbers and round numbers. I look at it as, if you get a 2-point conversion here, you've at least, and if you don't, at least you knew what the situation was. But if you get the 2-point conversion there and they drive down the field and you can hold them with your defense to just three, then you've definitely assured yourself that you're going to go down, you can get the ball and you can go down and you can at least win the game with Harrison Butker, instead of them going down, penalty, drawing the clock out. And I get it. I know Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. He's an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
changes everything, though.
It can, but I just,
changes everything.
I think 30 out of 32 coaches go for two there.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Good from the, yeah, I know, the 30 of the 32 would be wrong. From the 913, don't chase points. I play Madden. There you go.
There we go.
I mean, start watching these games when coaches chase these points early on in the game. Like, when it's 12-3 for whatever reason and they go for two, watch how many of these coaches end up losing these football games. You'll go, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, they chase these points early in games, and it ends up coming back and biting them right in the ass.
Like, I would kind of understand your point if it was the second or third quarter. Again, it was the fourth quarter.
Way too much time left, though. Way too much time.
It's still the fourth quarter.
And you still have Patrick Mahomes. You're going to score again. You know you are. You've got Patrick Mahomes. Take the extra point. Let's go. Go out there and play. You got a good defense, too. You shut Jamar Chase down all afternoon.
I'd be leaning on that more than the Mahomes thing right now.
But then also, if you put it in this case scenario, if they go down and score a touchdown and they go for two, then you can't win.
It's true.
Right?
No, if you miss the two, though, if they go down and score.
I'm saying if you kick the field goal and just, or the extra point, and you're up by what, two?
Two.
Two.
They go down and score.
They go down and score six.
Okay, they get the 2 points. It's eight.
Eight.
Okay, then you have to go for two. Instead of just taking care of business right there, then now you're putting in the
right,
back.
For me, you don't go for two unless you have to go for two. That's where I stand on that one. And it, with 14 minutes to go and you're up, I don't think you need to go for two.
We got 14 minutes to go until I'm going to have to take a two because the coffee is starting to run through me. This is Fesco and Dusty. That's Mac Morey. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco. We'll wrap this show up and get you ready for Cody and Gold on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Wrapping up a Monday, a victory Monday. Is David Montgomery available from the Bears? They have Jahmyr Gibbs. They don't need David Montgomery. Bring him to the Chiefs.
Oh, the Lions? Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be nice.
That is the news that was there today, is that Isaiah Pacheco has a broken fibula. Will miss significant time. Going to go on the IR, which means four automatically. But a lot of reports say that he could be missing more than that. Get ready for the Patrick Mahomes MVP season.
Oh, God, yes.
You know?
Oh, like, another obstacle for Patrick Mahomes? Okay, right. Fine. We'll overcome this one, too, if we have to.
Tough day. Tough victory. Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, our pets. Heads are falling off.
But the Hollywood Brown one, like, we never had him, right? Like,
that's
that
true.
That gentleman literally got hurt on the first play of spring training or preseason football.
Yeah.
And that was it. We never really had him, so.
Yeah, somebody at the text line says, listening to you guys do math is giving me a headache. Big fan, though. Love this duo.
Yeah, it gives us headache, too.
I had to get a break early because I was like, ah!
Yeah, oh, believe me, gives me a headache. Got an F my senior year in calculus.
I feel like that's a fair F.
Yeah, I never took calculus. No. Thank God.
I got a D in college. Took it again in college, got a D. It was hard.
Yeah, it'd be very hard.
The D in college?
Yeah. It was hard to get that D in college. Like, I struggled to get the D in college in calculus.
For someone who started this new show telling me every day, every Monday, that he hated Mondays, you sure the hell have been different the last 3 weeks.
I tell you what, I got a little Patrick Mahomes Mondays back in my life. It's good, man. Like, you should have been on the bus ride home yesterday. We were just fired up. People were ready to fight. I told you the whole bus is ready to fight Jamar Chase after the game. Like, people don't like the Bengals, man. Like, that's my number one now on the top of the list from a fan standpoint. Like, teams I don't like because of Bengal fans.
Yeah, go to a Broncos game.
I have been to plenty of Bronco in games. Denver? Everybody's stoned. Oh, God, yes. Josh and I used to go every year out there and do stuff, right?
Everyone's like, stoned at Kansas City games. It's
well, except for the
Bengal
fans. But yeah. No, this is I haven't been to a Bronco game since, you know, the left-handed game, obviously. But I always had a good time out there with Bronco fans. They were always very, like, welcoming, and they were always had the upper hand on us, right? And so you kind of appreciated them, and they appreciated you. But this Cincinnati team, man, there's nothing acting like you've arrived and haven't accomplished anything yet. What'd the promo say? Toothless and winless?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Bengal fans.
All right. Well, you don't need teeth to eat a brioche bun, so let's get to our brioche of the weekend.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah. Good take.
Bob, if you hate me, you love me, you might hate me here. My brioche of the weekend. My guy, Kyler Murray, was great.
Oh, you've been waiting for this.
You knew I was going to sit and see the text. He absolutely lit the world on fire and found out that Marvin Harrison Jr. is him.
How about that? God. Like, hey, I'm here. Throw me the football. Marv was so good. Yeah, you see why I coveted him for 2 years.
Yeah. Good.
Williams of Ohio State's my new coveted wide receiver
there you
now.
Go. Must be nice. Kyler Murray, 17-21, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns, all of them to Marvin Harrison Jr. He also had 5 rushes for 59 yards. That's the Kyler Murray that we talked to you about. That's the Kyler Murray that's there. If you can see it, you can believe it, and that's the kind of quarterback he can be. There was a time, a few short years back, where he was doing this in the first 5 to 6 weeks of the season. There was some serious MVP talk of Kyler Murray.
I always said Ohio State.
I'm not going to get there yet. But Kyler Murray, if you can keep this up and you've found your wide receiver one, then we got a lot of fun to watch in Arizona. I know that sounds weird, but that's my brioche of the weekend, which is Kyler Murray.
They took on the Rams, right? That's a depleted team.
A very depleted team.
What's the opposite of brioche? Mold? Like, because that's what the Rams are right now. That is a mold organization. I mean, yeah. you lose Cooper Kupp a week after you lose Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
How many people are loving Kyren Williams now? Remember his drop in fantasy? Yeah. It's like, oh, he's going to be a return guy. Screw that.
No, he's like your number one receiver.
He's everything.
There's no DeMarcus Robinson.
Can you believe that?
How about it, man? He had four for 50 in the first half. Like, there you go, D-Rob. Like, if you're now the, run forward.
If you're the Rams, man, like Sean McVay, you got to be puking all over the place going, oh, my God, we got nothing right now. Good luck, Matthew. You could
trade them Juju. And they could trade us Kyren Williams, and we could just call it a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't mind that. Can you trade Juju for a running back?
That's what they're doing.
I mean,
thanks for listening.
I was thinking, I don't know why I was not thinking that.
Could you think about your brioche of the weekend?
I am. I'm also watching this Wendy's commercial with a nice breakfast burrito that looked really good.
It looks huge.
Which, by the way, I got the Whataburger taquitos over the week. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm telling you, do not sleep over the Whataburger breakfast.
Did try the Quick Trip breakfast taquitos. Mid.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they were good. I mean, it was different. It wasn't spicy steak. I'm going to go get some after this, too.
Mm-hmm. Who's yours, Mac?
Brioche of the weekend for Mac Warrenstein.
Give me Brock Bowers.
9 for 98.
Yeah, 2 games, 15 receptions, 17 targets, 156 yards in those two weeks. And, I mean, he's not a big tight end. He's like 6'3". They list him as 230. I'd go more like 220. But he was dragging dudes for extra yards. Right. Like he's got that girth that people are like, oh, he's a slot receiver. He's like, he's even more of a receiver than Travis. He's got some of that tight end like grit to him, along with the shimmy and the finesse that I think Kelsey had developed over the years. Brock Bowers is elite.
Okay.
He just needs to bring it home.
Yeah, no touchdowns yet.
No, I mean bring it home. Like he needs to let the hair go.
Let the hair go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my decision to make, but by God, Brock. Yeah,
give it up, bro.
Come on. That ain't a cul-de-sac. It's a damn no outlet. just ain't nothing there, man. That thing is.
Mine, Shamari Connor. Why haven't we not talked about him until 9:51 for the most part today? That guy was phenomenal yesterday. This comes from the Chiefs post-game notes, and I had Shamari before I read this morning, but recovered a fumble, returned at 38 yards for a touchdown, okay? With less than 4 minutes left, he blitzes, gets Joe Burrow, seals the deal right there with Joe Burrow, 9-yard loss on 3rd and 6, finishes the game with 4 tackles, 3 solos, including 1 for loss, a sack for a 9-yard loss, a QB pressure, and a fumble recovery for a touchdown. How about Shamari Connor? Brioche that dude up, baby. That guy was good yesterday, man. Like, it was so funny because Dusty sent the text of like, we have nothing at the cornerback spot. Shamari Connor, blitz sack.
Yeah, no pass rush. And then
no
boom.
Pass rush. Blitz sack strip. Like, you need to do more of that during the game.
Please.
Travis Kelce can't catch 85 yards, Kelce. Like, it's great. Like, Shamari Connor was really, really good yesterday. Just tremendously good.
I mean, Dusty, I think you brought it up earlier. He's kind of taking, you know, McDuffie's having to take, like, the pure corner role. Mm. Connor's like, okay, well, McDuffie can't blitz as much. That can be him. And he's taking it on. He's doing really well. And they're going to need that because the pass rush has lacked at times.
Somebody says their brioche of the weekend was the Saints. Derek,
are we buying the Saints?
A little bit.
Are we buying them? I mean,
I know they murdered the Panthers week one,
but they also went to Dallas. But again,
that's a big win though. Yeah. Like that's, and I know people that are Dallas fans and they'll say this all the time. Like there's always that few games where it's like, this seems like a game that Dallas should take care of. But I mean, it seems that Derek Carr's found that Rashid Shaheed. It seems that Alvin Kamara's got new life. I mean, I went against both those guys in fantasy this week. You know I didn't win. And Shaheed's done that now in back-to-back games. And I want to say that Carr was kind of finding that with Henry Ruggs before he became an idiot. But, like, he was being able to hit that deep route, and now he's in New Orleans, and he's got his target. We're not even talking about Marcus gosh, what's the other guy? I can't think of his name.
Olave.
Yeah.
Olave.
Yeah, he was good, too.
And he's got Olave, Shaheed, Kamara. So.
Chris Olave.
The Saints host the Eagles next week. That'll be a true test.
That'll be a good game.
That'll be a litmus test kind of for them.
What if we see the Eagles lose to the Falcons tonight, though? How much of a test is that going to be?
Yeah, I mean, because we'll
everything we knew about the NFL in week one, we now no longer know.
What, isn't Kirk Cousins really bad on Monday Night Football, or is it Sunday Night Football?
I think it's Monday Night Football. Isn't he like 0-10? Has he won a Monday Night Football game? I think that's it.
Oh, wow.
It's something like that. Because Josh Allen's 7-0 on Thursday Night Football.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're correct on that.
Let's see here. Yeah, Kirk Cousins is 3-10 on Monday Night Football.
That's not good.
Jeez.
How's he been on Monday Night Football? I guess Monday Night Football is normally not great. But yeah, 3-10. In fact, I guess he's had a better run at the last couple of years. He's 3-1 in his last four starts, but before that, he was winless.
Well, he had Justin Jefferson in those starts, and then he was playing with the Commodes before that. So
yeah, at one point, he was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0-9 on Monday Night Football. It's just been of recency that he has. His last win was last year in October.
Text line says any night game for Kirk. What is he doing on Sunday night?
Prime
football?
Time. He's
like
just
prime
bad.
Time games.
Yeah, he's just not good in prime time in prime time games.
Well, I mean, look, man. Sometimes noon on a Sunday is Coles, right? That's cool. That's okay. You do you.
Yeah.
You've got to shine on a big night. Sometimes guys don't have the ability to do that. Lights get bright, they don't.
7-10 straight up in prime time. Primetime Vikings games. Okay, so that's not his whole career. Okay, yeah. That's just Vikings.
So still 3 under .500, though.
Yeah.
In the world of sports, the Dolphins might have just signed my new favorite player. With the Tua Tagovailoa injury, the Dolphins are signing former Pro Bowl quarterback Snoop Huntley off the Ravens practice squad.
Chet Huntley, way to go.
That's the name I want right there, man. I'll tell you what.
Snoop Huntley.
Well, there was a guy today on the text line that wasn't very nice. So I will tell you one thing that I tell you every day before I get off this radio show, and that is to go do nice things for people because you never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kind and stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. But coming up next, Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.